Welcome to the Education Marketing Leader Podcast with Chris Raposo. If you're looking to dive into the latest industry insights, draw inspiration from education success stories, or just want to sharpen your marketing skills, you're in the right place. Here, we bring you a diverse range of voices from experts and leaders in the field, offering you a unique blend of professional development and practical strategies. Whether you want to understand your audience better, stay updated with the latest tech trends in marketing, or expand your professional network, we've got you covered. So while you're driving on your morning commute or winding down after a busy day, let's explore the dynamic world of education marketing together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Education Marketing Leader with Chris Raposo. Today, my guest is joining me from the state of Pennsylvania. Her name is Melissa Grainer, and she is the VP of Marketing at Campus ESP. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
So, Melissa, a little bit of background about yourself. Tell us what you do at Campus ESP and what Campus ESP does for the higher ed industry.
Yeah, so I, like you mentioned, I'm the VP of marketing here, which means I am a little bit involved in everything that comes to communications and sharing what we do with the higher ed community. Part of the, you know, the favorite part of my job really is working with our customers to understand what they are trying to do to communicate with parents and families right now, understanding their struggles and making sure that we can articulate how we can help them and improve our product so that we can continue to help them moving forward. But to kind of pull back there, you know, Campus ESP, really what we are is a comprehensive family and parent engagement platform. So we have at our core a personalized portal experience for those parents and family members. But then we have emails, newsletters, SMS texting, and other different ways. The core of it is to try and find different ways for institutions to really communicate with families, no matter where their student is in that journey, and make sure those families have the right information to really be the advisor and supporter of that student as they start off on this new adventure.
And is it from enrollment all the way through graduation or just for the beginning of the?
No, we actually have like a full lifecycle suite of options, right? So we do have different modules that focus on these different stages. So we have one for our friends in enrollment and admissions. Then we have one that focuses more on current families. And then we have some ancillary products that really do focus on different departments like the registrar or advancement and development.
So you mentioned you contact parents through email, newsletters, SMS, texting. Just first actionable item for the audience, what's most effective with parents these days?
Oh, so I guess it depends on what you're trying to do, what kind of action you're trying to get taken. Parents will always say they want email most. We do surveys every year of our families and our users, and hands down, email is what they request the most. It's where they are all day, right? Think about your day. You're going to check your inbox. But we also know our inboxes get really busy and crowded, and it's difficult to keep up. So we do see that when it comes to something that really needs a call to action, like you need an action taken today, a deposit is due, a form needs to be filled. SMS is a great way to kind of push that urgency a little bit and get them to just click the button and take care of business.
That makes a lot of sense because we're so bombarded with emails these days. Can you explain how Campus ESP helps colleges engage with parents throughout the student life cycle from enrollment to retention? Because when you keep getting those emails, you may get turned off after a while. So how do you make sure that these parents stay engaged?
Yeah. So the key for us really is making sure that the content they're receiving is applicable to them, right? If it's some blanket communication, it's very easy to tune out and to realize that this isn't going to help you. You start to, you go nose blind to it. So what we try to do is really make sure that the content in that portal experience, as well as what is being put into that newsletter digest that goes out every 2 weeks, is tailored to that family member based on their particular interests, as well as where their student is. So we integrate with the school's CRM system, so we know where that student is in the application process. When the parent joins, they have an onboarding form where they can say, I'm a you know, out of state parent, I am interested in the athletics department, my student's looking into nursing. And so based on all those different factors that we have, both the portal experience and the newsletter is filtered and tailored to that person. So it's really the information they need and want to see at any given point in time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. SMS texting, you mentioned it earlier too, for those urgency pieces, that as a personal story right here, I get a lot of emails from my alma mater. I'm a parent. I'm very busy working. When it comes time for donation, you know, your annual giving, I remember a time that I got emails, I got mail pieces, and I saw them and I looked at them, but I kind of put them to the wayside. But I got a text message, SMS text message from my college, and they said, hey, you can donate here. And it was like, I could do it on the go real quick, like a quick bit there, right? Took care of business. The college got their money. I got my t-shirt and we were on our way. So SMS text messaging, definitely an effective way to get those parents involved as well. Talking about some of the challenges when did you face in effectively communicating to parents, you know, how do you overcome those challenges and what are some of those challenges?
So the challenges I think that most of our customers are facing in doing this, I think there's been a shift, I think, in how institutions have thought about communicating with parents. I think, you know, you go back 10 years ago even, and it was kind of something that they didn't want to do. They wanted the focus to be on the student. They wanted the student to have this growing up mature experience and have some autonomy. And parents were like going to be interfering. You know, that's back when we had the helicopter parents term, you know, in the industry. And I think what is changing now is the realization that today's students want their family members to be engaged. This is the COVID generation. They're used to having their parents along for the ride. They turn to them as advisors, and they want to make sure that their parents are part of these decisions. And so schools are kind of being more open to the fact that the decision is really made by the family a lot these days. Like, the student still needs to be the centerpiece. They still need to start taking on some actions and responsibility for themselves. But mom and dad or grandparents or siblings are going to be part of that discussion at the dinner table. And so making sure that everybody has the information to do that is more important. The challenge, though, I think that a lot of our institutions face is bandwidth. And it's not, you know, specific to family engagement. It's specific to everything that they're doing from an enrollment lens. There's less time, there's less money, there's less people, and there's bigger goals right now. And so adding anything to the mix can feel a little bit intimidating or just not doable because there's only so many resources. And so we truly try to make sure that our solution is a solution, right? It's not just a piece of software that you're going to have to figure out, and it's going to be more work and take more effort. We're trying to actually help you do more with less. And so, you know, our team does a lot of content creation for our customers. There's a lot of consultancy that goes into our product as well. So it's not just here's some tech, it's here's advice from people who have been there. And that way they can do more with parents, but also it's not adding a huge amount of work to their weekly schedule.
Yeah. Like you said, less time, less money, less people.
That's the reality these days. I feel like everybody is facing that challenge.
Yeah, especially with the enrollment cliff, less students as well. But, you know, you got to keep that institution going. So partnering with somebody who understands the target audience, the Gen Zers, Gen Alpha, that particular student demographic that is dwindling over the next couple of years, in order to make sure that your first shot actually hits home, so that you have a bigger chance of them getting enrolled in your institution and setting them up for success in the future. But how did so you said that traditionally in the past, people were focused more on the student. So I see a lot of student stories, student testimonials. Is there a trend or a shift that you see in higher ed marketing where they changed the strategy to have parent testimonials perhaps, and then talk about that to, you know, to the particular audiences out there, not just the student testimonials, but maybe have parents talk about like what their experience is with the communication with the school?
Yeah, I've seen all of the above, and I've seen it all work. I think, you know, to start on what you said before about student testimonials, I think that is still a great thing. But think about sending those to the parents as well, right? Because it's one thing for a student to see another student and kind of reflect there and say, oh, like, this could be me in 4 years. But a parent wants that same thing. They want to know that if they send off their child to this institution, that they're going to be happy, that they're going to be successful, that they're going to graduate with a plan and a job and less debt and all those things that they're worried about. So seeing the success stories of your current students from a parent's lens, actually, I think is still a really strong strategy, and it hits. We see a lot of our customers who are using student interns in their offices to do like day in the lives or, you know, like Instagram kind of takeovers. But the parents are the ones that are eating that up because they just want to know what it's really going to be like, and that they're going to be comfortable with the situation that their students can be walking into in the future. But I do also know of a couple of our customers who are doing it from the parent side, because again, that's like that peer-to-peer social proof. We want to see somebody like us, and that gives us a sense of security. So, but be it an alumni who now has a student there, so then you can get both lenses, a parent who is now maybe part of a parents council and is doing things on campus and has a little bit more of a insider look at what's happening. Those are always great ways to kind of tell your story through a way that doesn't feel too, you know, administrative and top down. It feels more like peer, friend to friend kind of thing. Yeah.
100%, 100%, because we parents trust the other parents, because this is the most, a child as a parent is the most valuable person, the most valuable thing you have. And to send them off into a different city, different state, perhaps, you know, it takes a lot of trust. And you want to make sure you make the right decision to set your kids up for success and make sure that they're safe. And if you see other parents before you feeling comfortable with the institution, then you're more inclined to give it a second look as well. So I can totally understand where you're coming from with that. Let's talk about success stories a little bit with Campus ESP. Has there been one specific campaign that really moved the needle for one of your clients that you can remember that you're particularly proud of?
There's a ton of them, honestly, and I'm not trying to gloat there. It's like every school really approaches it a little different, right? And it's based on their marketing campaign and their strategy and what sets them apart. I think the best success stories that we see are when the school embraces their uniqueness and is trying to show what makes their institution a little different, what makes their student experience a little different, when they're not trying to just, you know, compete with the big names, when they're kind of embracing what makes them special. I think it also depends on when they're what they're trying to achieve, right? So is it just, I want to get some information out and I want parents to be like, oh, this is a great school, honey, you should go there? Or is it, all right, you know, the numbers are coming in, they're not looking good, we need deposits up by this date. There's a whole different mentality switch then, right? Because it's less, you know, from a marketing lens, is it brand, or are we actually looking at like lead gen or demand gen, right? There's like a line in the marketing world in our heads between those two pieces. Our strategies are going to be very different there. But, you know, one of the things that we recently did that I think is a great success story that I love to kind of just, you know, put a little bit of a spotlight on is working with a customer who kind of came to us with a problem. They were trying to help parents stay on track with where their student was in the application process. They're not, you know, there's Common App, but then there's all these other ancillary things that needs to get done. There's a lot of steps in the process. It's stressful, especially if it's the first time or you're a first generation family. You don't know what you don't know. And they were really trying to find a way to help the parents visualize what that process looked like and where their student was and what needed to get done. And they didn't have a tool to do that. So we built one for them. And so we integrated this new product called Admissions Dashboard into our platform. And now those parents can log in. They see this checklist of items and where their student is in that journey and what needs to get taken care of. And so we just recently launched that with them at the end of this past enrollment cycle. And they saw almost a 5% increase, a 5x increase in deposits for the families that were using that tool. So it definitely helped them stay on track and keep moving through the process and not accidentally, you know, fall through the cracks and miss something completely that they didn't know was going to mess up their students' ability to actually enroll on time.
Yeah, that's very important for both sides, right? You want to make sure that the student actually gets through, the students that you want on campus, and then the parents want to make sure that their kids get the proper education that they are that they're looking for. So it's a win-win on both sides to have that in place. And now some kids may want to have a little bit more independence, you know, and don't want their parents in their business per se. It depends on the kind of kids. So how does Campus ESP balance the need for transparency with parents while respecting the students' autonomy?
Very, very fair point. And it's something that we hear about a lot, obviously. You know, so we understand that there is different viewpoints here. And obviously there's also, there's FERPA, right? We all know FERPA. We all love it or hate it in some way, shape, or form. But it's a rule and there's a reason for it, for lots of reasons, right? So anything that's put into our customers' portals or into the newsletters that come from there is information that generally is public facing, right? So it's, you know, there's an admitted student's day next weekend or something like that. It's not going to be detrimental if a family member knows about this information. If they had the time and the wherewithal, they could have found that information on their own. Problem is that they don't have that time. That's why this is being helpful. When it comes to things that are student specific, we're not going to share that information. It's really just based on like where they are in the cycle, or there are institutions that communicate with current families, what year they might be, or what, you know, institution, the college and the institution they might be in from a major perspective. We do have a ancillary product that does manage FERPA waivers, so that if an institution wants to elevate other information through their portals that is technically protected and identifying student information, they can if the student says it's okay. So it's a digital waiver that is broken down by all the different items that the school maybe wants to share. The student can say yes, no, yes, no. And in those cases, then the parent will maybe have information to a credit load or if there's a hold on the account and things that are definitely specific to that student. But it's only when the student is totally cool with it, because both legal perspective and also like a growth mindset perspective, this is their journey. And we want to be respectful of that, obviously.
Absolutely. For anybody who does not know what FERPA is, it's the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act, and acted in 1974, amended 7 times, and it protects the privacy interests of parents and students. So just because I didn't know that, so I looked it up and read it out for you guys. So question, what are some of the effective strategies you've seen from turning parents, parent involvement into active participants in fundraising efforts? Now that's a loaded question, right? Because these parents, they're a lot of them are on the hook for tuition already. Mm-hmm. Now you're asking for more money and fundraising efforts. Do you participate that as well in your efforts?
Yeah, we see a lot of institutions do it. I mean, mm-hmm. we all know every institution's going to ask, right? They have departments that do this, and they have reasons to reach out as early as, you know, before they're actually on campus. They're asking mm-hmm. families for donations. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, right? I mean, like, I don't know if I ever could work in an advancement office. I don't know if I've got that kind of thick skin. But we see a lot of institutions using family engagement as a way to do this. And I think what's key there is not starting with fundraising asks, but starting truly with the engagement side, right? So if you start a campaign to families that have first year students coming in the fall, and you're getting them excited about the institution and about the programs their students are going to have access to and the community that they're now a part of, and you're making them feel welcome and seen and respected, they're going to open your emails more often, but they're also going to have just a greater affinity for your institution. And they are going to want their student to be in a place that is having these great programs and experiences and resources and funding. So you're going to definitely see a correlation when you warm them up in that proper way. When you make that first ask, they're going to be a lot more amenable if they are in a position to be donating. So that's really kind of how we try to do it in our system, is we're looking at the families that are already engaged. They obviously want to be getting information. They want to be involved. Maybe they've raised their hand in some way saying that they want to do something extra from a volunteer standpoint, or maybe they've said so much, yes, I'm interested in fundraising or something like that. And then we can kind of combine that with the data that the institution has on a propensity to give. So they can really tailor their messaging to the people that really might be able to help them hit a certain goal on a giving day. Or if they're looking for new members of a parents council and there's a major gift involved, they can kind of hone their efforts into the right people who are engaged, excited, and in a position to be able to contribute to the university.
Yeah, I assume it's certainly easier with legacy students where the parents already went to the school, so they have an affinity for the institution. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely a good way to go about that. So earlier you mentioned higher education, institution, professionals, less time, less money, less people. But there's a thing out there that everybody talks about right now, which is AI. You know, it really helps the communications professional out at least a little bit with their copy, with their strategy. Do you at Campus ESP leverage AI at all and analytics to personalize communication with the parents?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be a conversation in 2024 if we weren't talking about AI in some way, right? And I think, you know, we're all using it. I use it in my day-to-day. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be silly if we weren't taking advantage of these resources. And so, yes, we are leaning in on that. Anything that can be a time saver for our customers, it's going to be something that's probably helpful, right? So the first foray, I guess you can call it, into AI that we've done is a recent release that is around content development, really. So our content tool basically allows you to take something that you already have, and you can either change the tone of it, you can shorten it, you can do all those things. It's a simple kind of little fix there, but it is a time saver. But I think it's also really important for this audience because most of our customers and most institutions, they're communicating with the students already, right? So they've already done the work. But yeah, most institutions are already creating a bunch of content for their students. And that's a lot of the same information that they want to get to these parents. So they don't have to reinvent the wheel. Before it would be a matter of, okay, take this, edit it slightly for a different audience. But now these AI tools can do that for you. So you can take the work you already did and turn it into a parent-facing communication, honestly, like that. We also have it where you could basically turn it into a text message. So maybe you have like a longer announcement that you said, but you're like, oh, I just really want to get this to parents out right now. Yep. You can take this longer thing, turn it into a, you know, 140 character text, instantaneously get that out the door. It also, honestly, it writes really well. You could give it a prompt and say something like, you know, write me a post about the stress of move-in or the way that we need people to sign up for orientation, and it'll do it for you. We can also reference the institution's website, so it's actually pulling in information specific to that school. But I think the thing that I'm loving the most about our newest AI tool is the translation capabilities. Because that is one thing we hear from a lot of our customers is that they want to speak directly to families in the language of that family. And so if they have a high Spanish speaking population or a Native American population on their campus, they want to do communications that really speak to them, but they don't always have a resource on hand that can do that translation for them. Those are really scarce resources on campus. Mm-hmm. This allows them to take something they've already generated, turn it into a different language. And we've had a couple of our schools with, like, you know, really high counts of Spanish speaking populations that have translators on staff test it for us to make sure, like, this is legit, right? And it's performing beautifully, which I think is a huge time saver, but also just make sure that your communications are talking to people the way that they need to be spoken to, and, you know, meeting them where they are. And I think that's one of the biggest first steps in an engagement campaign is being human with the person that you're trying to talk to.
But I have to agree, I'm fluent in German, so I used ChatGPT to translate English into German. And in my experience, it's spot on. But you always want to have somebody double check and make sure, you know, what you're pushing out there in another language is actually relevant. It doesn't offend anybody. Now, there is something to be said about retention these days, because it's one thing to get somebody on campus, but you want to keep them there and you want to get them to graduation. Do you think that parent engagement could positively influence students to get from semester one all the way to the end?
Yes.
And how do you do that?
Yes. Full stop. End of conversation. Yes. I totally do. We even have some research to back it up because we really wanted to make sure that we were pushing the right direction. But the reason I think why it is because, like we were talking about before, students are turning to their parents as advisors, right? They're not just mom and dad. They are people who potentially have been there before, whose mm-hmm. opinions they trust, whose guidance they've been relying on for the last 17, 18 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, choosing a school that's going to be a good match for them, parents and family members are involved, but also making sure that they stay on track. You know, that first semester, if they have questions, concerns, they are struggling academically or with mental health issues. We see all these things across the board in students these days. The first person that they call is not the counseling center. Mm-hmm. It's mom or dad. And if they don't have the information to help their students, then who does? So making sure that the parents are informed helps them really be that support structure that a student needs to be able to persist and stay in school and stay on track and get to that commencement date. There's also certain different pieces of information that we've been able to identify that really do move the needle on keeping a student enrolled. It's not their GPA, which I think most people will raise their hand like, oh, it's like how well they're doing in a, you know, psych 101. It's not. We want to make sure they're doing well, but you know, that's not what's going to keep them moving forward. The biggest like hiccups are little things that we don't always think about, like a hold from the bursar's office on a book that wasn't returned, right? If the student doesn't know that that happened, doesn't know how to fill out that form to get an extension, doesn't know how to pay that fee, that could completely throw them off mm-hmm. from enrolling in the next semester. And once you go a little off track, we know that the statistics are much more difficult to get them back. So going back to like that FERPA management waiver product I mentioned to you, like if you have a way to alert parents when there's those kind of things, a hold on an account, if a credit load has gone too low, those are the things where a parent can step in and say, hey, did you know this? Do you know to go to this office in this building? And keep those students on track. And we actually have done that research I mentioned. We do it every year to see if this is really, truly making a difference. We look at our customers' institutional retention rates. And then we look at the retention rates of the students who have parents within that school's Campus ESP platform and compare them mm-hmm. to see if there's an increase. When the parents are involved in getting information, do we see these students retain at a higher rate? And the answer is yes. And it varies greatly based on what the school's institutional rate was mm-hmm. to start and the kind of audience that they're serving. But on average, it's about an 8% increase in retention. So it's not for nothing. And like you said before, it's so much easier to keep a student on campus than it is to recruit them to campus, that when you put all that effort in the beginning, you want those kids to be able to make it forward and get to that graduation day.
Yes, absolutely. That is very counterproductive on a higher ed campus, really, to prevent somebody from enrolling into the next semester if they have a hole in a book, I would personally say. But also these kids, 17, 18 year old, that go to university, everything changes, right? Everything is confusing. So it's understandable that they may miss a deadline on a book return, and to have the parent there to just be a second pair of eyes to make sure that they stay on track is super beneficial. Mm-hmm. You know, the saying goes, if you can't measure it, you can't improve it. What are some of the key metrics institutions should track to make sure that their parent engagement strategies are effective?
Yeah. I mean, I think the easiest place to start, especially if you haven't been doing family communications, is the engagement metrics that we all know and love. And maybe some of us from a marketing background would call them vanity metrics. But things like, you know, open and click rates, those are the easiest places to start and to just know that you're at least hitting the right chords. If no one's opening it, maybe we need to think about the channel or the subject line. If no one's clicking through, maybe you need to think about the subject matter. But once you know you've kind of got something there, you want to expand upon that. And I think the easiest way is to think mm-hmm. about what that goal is at the end of the day. If you're sitting in an enrollment office and your departmental North Star goal is a certain enrollment number or a yield rate, that's probably what you should be measuring. You can, it's you know, a little bit more complicated, but you can draw correlations between if the student enrolled and was their family engaged. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of our customers do. Some of our customers are amazing data wizards and are doing all this great predictive modeling. And they're using both the information they have about the student being engaged during that the recruitment process with what they have about the parents now being engaged, and kind of creating these like super scores and really doing some predictive modeling to understand how these different channels and levers that they have at their disposal are influencing their enrollment goals in a positive manner.
Perfect. As we land the plane, looking ahead, what trends do you see in parent engagement in the near future? Because things have changed pre-COVID to COVID and to now. Is there anything on the horizon you think that, that are going to change again?
I think it's going to continue for sure. I mean, I'm the parent of a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old. So as I'm starting to get, I'm already getting emails from schools for my sophomore in high school. Obviously, I'm thinking about like what I want to get and how I expect to be communicated with. And I think that might be like the shift that I see more is what I'm expecting. As you know, part of that elder millennial or whatever lovely term they've given my age group, I've been used to being able to get the information I want very quickly. I'm used to self-service. I am used to tailored or personalized content. I go on Netflix and Netflix just tells me what I want to watch next. And thank goodness, because I don't have the mind space to determine out what show I want to watch. So I think that's going to be maybe what we're seeing more is the expectation that the information that they're getting really is tailored to them. They don't want blanket communications anymore, and they're not going to hit home. They're going to go with people that they feel are speaking directly to them, and giving them the information that they want when they want it or need it.
Yep. Personalization for the win, for sure. Mm-hmm. Melissa, how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about you or more about your company?
So we're campusesp.com. There's a ton of information in our blog and resources area for anybody who wants to see some stories as well as these like different stats and references that I made. All those research studies are available there. And if anybody wants to reach out to me personally, I'm happy to share a story or answer a question. I'm mgreiner@campusesp.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Melissa, thank you so much for joining the show today. I hope everybody had a good time listening to this, and I hope you had a good time talking to me today.
It was a joy. Thanks for having me, Chris.
You bet. All right. Take care. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into the show today. If you enjoyed it, don't keep it to yourself. Share with your friends in your network. And if you have a moment, I would really appreciate a review of the podcast. That'll help other people find the show as well. Tune in every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. when I release another episode. Take care now. Have a good one, friends.